Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, good morning to everyone. It's my great pleasure to be with you here in cyberspace and with our holy handful who is here in real life with me today. The sermon today picks up the theme of the slow work of God and the challenge of being patient and trusting as God works through history and through our lives. But first, I'd like to begin with a nod to three great men who have gone on to glory in these past days. There was a gentleman by the name of J.I. Packer, who was a leader in the conservative Anglican evangelical movement. There was C.T. Vivian, without whom the victories of the civil rights era would not have been won. And of course, Congressman John R. Lewis, each in their own way, were three servants of God. Now myself, I was blessed to interview Congressman Lewis. It was one of the few interviews in my 20-year newspaper career where I had to struggle to maintain my objectivity and not slip into hero worship. I was face to face with history. Here was a giant, humble, yet fierce and passionate about justice. His eyes had seen the horror of hate. His body remembered the fists, the kicks, the burning cigarettes pressed against his skin. His soul knew loss, and yet he spoke of hope and love and the beloved community. So I'm not going to eulogize John Lewis, because there will be many others more gifted than I who will take on that task in the coming days. But I would like us to join with me in taking another look at today's psalm. Now imagine that you are John Lewis and you're 20 years old. You're riding a Greyhound bus with 12 other freedom riders. The bus is pulling into the station in Montgomery, Alabama. There's a sense of foreboding. It's thick and palpable. There's no place to hide. There is no retreat. You will have to get off the bus. Imagine you are John Lewis, and you're 25 years old, standing with hundreds on the Edmund Pettus Bridge. The police and state troopers are waiting with their dogs, their clubs, their tear gas. And this is your prayer. Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Knit my heart to you that I may fear your name. I will thank you, O Lord, my God, with all my heart and glorify your name forever. For great is your love toward me. You have delivered me from the nethermost pit. The arrogant rise up against me, O God, and a band of violent men seeks my life. They have not set you before their eyes. But you, O Lord, are gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and full of kindness and truth. Turn to me and have mercy on me. Give your strength to your servant and save the child of your handmaid. Show me a sign of your favor so that those who hate me may see it and be ashamed, because you, O Lord, have helped me and comforted me. This is your prayer. And then the bus doors open, the crowd moves forward, and you step into history. Today's gospel also speaks of history, though of a vastly different sort. The gospel deals with the long arc and end of history, when all will be consummated and brought under Jesus Christ. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and evildoers. And they will throw them into the furnace of fire, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Is it any wonder that the second coming is often described as the great and terrible day of the Lord? We hear the phrase weeping and gnashing of teeth again in chapter 25 of Matthew's gospel, when the worthless servant is thrown into the outer darkness. That chapter ends with Jesus saying that those who did not recognize him in the needs of others will, at the final judgment, go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Then, and only then, says our gospel, is the time when the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Such, brothers and sisters, is the study of what is known as eschatology, the imagining of the end of the present age. But notice in the parables and in today's passage that it is God and Jesus who are doing the separating and the judging. It's not us. What is it that Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount? Do not judge so that you may not be judged. Yet, how are we to live in this age when, to use the metaphor from today's gospel, the wheat and the weeds grow side by side, the good and the bad, the pious and the atheist, those who struggle for the kingdom of God and those who actively oppose it? In short, how do we live in the world? Sometimes we are quick to act, sure that we are the good seed and the good wheat and the children of the kingdom, empowered to carry out God's judgment. Today's gospel tells us not to be too quick in our judgments and our actions. After all, the phrase holier than thou is a church term. Let them grow together, we are told. Wheat and weeds, let them grow. Underground, their roots are entangled. To pull up one is to uproot the other. Apparently, the weed that is referred to in our gospel looks just like wheat when it first grows. Only later, as each plant grows into the fullness of itself, is its true nature known. And who knows what mysterious, sanctifying, and redeeming work God may be bringing about in that so-called weed. Our job is to do the work we have been given to do and to trust in the slow work of God. And I know that sometimes it is hard to be patient and trust in God's final judgment, but so we must. But patience does not mean inaction. Work, watch, wait. Know that God hears our daily prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This week I invite you to read through Matthew 13 and spend some time praying about the kingdom of God. What does it look like? How do you imagine it? Last week's gospel, along with today's and next week's, are all taken from the 13th chapter of Matthew's gospel, and all are concerned with the kingdom of God. Jesus describes it as a pearl, a mustard seed, or as in today's passage, the world in which good and evil coexist in a tense relationship until the second coming of the Son of Man. So as I said, I encourage you to read over this chapter. And then let me know what you think, what comes to mind. Send me an email, if you will, dthompson@stanns-annapolis.org. And perhaps I can use some of what the church says about the kingdom in the sermon that I will bring to you next week. But today I will leave you with a few words from John Lewis, who left us an eloquent witness of faithful, determined perseverance and patient trust in the slow work of God. He said, "Do not get lost in a sea of despair. Be hopeful, Be optimistic. Our struggle is not the struggle of a day, a week, a month, or a year. It is the struggle of a lifetime. Never, ever be afraid to make some noise and get into good trouble, necessary trouble. The words, the congressman, spoken like a true disciple of the one who turned over the tables of the money changers, who challenged and spoke to the powers that be, and then went to the cross and gave himself to set us free. Amen.